tape made with Barney and Clara Carball on November 30th, 1981.
Okay, now we'll start with this one. Do you remember, you ever remember seeing the furnace look like that?
No.
Didn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's too far back, huh?
Wait there.
Maybe it looked more like this when you remember.
Remember?
The furnace is up along here. And that casting shed that they rebuilt, and this is another casting house. This is a casting house for this firm.
It was down there. And yeah, I remember. This is a machine shop.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a big machine in there that had a 12-foot flywheel on it, you know, a steam engine.
Mm-hmm.
12 feet. And that run a belt that run a fan that made the blast for the casting house. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, then this thing in here, there was a flywheel that made the air for this furnace, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah. This was an anthracite furnace.
That's right.
Did you say your father worked?
He worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was 46 years old when he married Mother.
Yeah.
Mother was only 18.
Yeah.
So it made him an old man. And they got married.
Well, do you know, I mean, was your father from around up there?
Yeah. They came from Altoona, Pennsylvania, when he was 9 years old.
Your grandfather did?
No, my father.
No, I mean, who'd he come with?
He came with his mother.
Where was his father?
He died in Little Orleans in the war.
Oh.
They got word that they were coming home, and they started the march, and then they got orders from up front that they had broke through the lines, and they started the war again. And he was sitting on a stone pile. And when his colonel told him that they were going back, he just fell over sideways. That was the end of it. So he must have had a heart attack.
Maybe he was hit by a stray bullet.
No, they were too far away.
Hmm.
But that word's going back.
For heaven's sake. Well, did she come down? I mean, do you know, did she think come down to this area because it was work down here or what?
No.
Did she have people down there?
No, she came here and they came to Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. And, of course, now she couldn't make money enough to feed them all.
How many were there?
7 of them. Andrew, Ann, Aunt Molly, and then Uncle Brandy, and Dad, and Nick, 6 of them, 7 with her, and she worked day's work, you know, around amongst people. Right. Cleaning house, you know, and stuff like that. And she couldn't make enough to feed them all. So my dad got a job at the shingle maker. And they piled shavings up, you know, like he's making shingles, they split them,
yeah,
and then shaved.
Where was that?
That was up at Sibylisville. And he worked there until he was 20 years old, and that was an old Irishman that he was working with. And then he got a job with a shoemaker. And he trained him to make shoes and boots. And he had patterns that he set up for different sizes and different type boots.
Yeah.
And he made shoes, and well, even after that, why, he got into the harness making, and making harness. And meanwhile, while he was working this way, he was still full with music. Now, my dad had 7 years record of fiddler, old fiddler of Maryland. And he held that.
Is that right? Where all did he play? All around the area?
Yeah, they played everywhere, you know, for dances. And then he got with the furnace here, and he was in napping cinders at this furnace here. And after he had napped cinders there, and he wanted to become a blacksmith. So he worked with Bill Eaton and then Bill Eaton started a shop of his own, blacksmith shop, and then Dad went to work for the furnace people here, you know,
yeah,
cottages. And
I guess Kunkel's had it then, didn't they?
Tom Gossage was one of the bosses, that's what it was. Kunkel was
the owner.
Lived down there at the big house at the furnace.
Yeah.
And after that, why, the furnace went down, you know, they shut it down. And meanwhile, the Hickory Run stave mill people come in there, and they set up right across, well, right up above the church there.
Mm-hmm.
They had their wood yard. And Dad and I was working the shop together. But we built wagons.
Does that look like it?
That's the store. That's your furnace store.
It says Blue Mountain Iron and Steel across the front.
Yeah, that was the company store.
Is that what that was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that was right on the corner where you turn up Yellow Hill there.
Yeah.
Up Furnace Hollow.
Is that what you called that, Furnace Hollow?
Yep, that's what they call it. Catoctin Hollow they call it now.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, gee, we always called it the old Furnace Hollow, and we always went up that road on T-Berry Hill. Girls and us, you know, boys up there,
Teaberry Hill.
Yeah.
Why'd you call it Teaberry Hill?
Well, there's teaberries growed there, and we used to get at Teaberry's, the girls and I.
Oh.
And James, Mutt, Ray Davis, Lawrence. We used to go up there on the hills, you know, and get at Teaberry's. Jesse Reed, Noreen, Hazel.
You spoke of it as Yellow Hill, too. Why did you call it Yellow Hill?
It was always clay in there, yellow clay.
Yeah.
And see, there used to be a pigment mill out there. You know, they'd dig this clay up and find it, and it would stick to the ore. So they would wash the clay off, and they'd take the pigment out of it, you know, and
made paint.
Yeah.
Made good paint. They had a paint mill there.
Yeah.
Paint mill, the stack for the paint mill was behind Clint Miller's house, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Did the water from the mill race run down there to help run the paint mill, or how did they power the paint mill?
Now, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Do you remember the paint mill when it was in operation?
No. Now my dad never had nothing to do with that. But I still heard him talk about it. I can remember mother lifting me across a water race. At the meantime, why, we were scared. Us kids, that water coming down through there, you know.
Yeah.
And the same way it was up at the ore mines. That's up at the mine bank.
Yeah.
Well, there was two washers up there, and they washed ore up there and transferred it to Catoctin Furnace on mule carts. Now, those carts, the mules pulled until they got up there back of Charlie Miller's place at the mine bank. Then it was downgrade, and they had to start rambling there. And the driver of the mules would talk to his mule, and they'd drop the tailgate on the ore car, and he'd walk up on that tailgate and ride down to the furnace.
Is that right? That's the mule would ride the cart?
Yes, sir.
No kidding. How big were the carts?
Oh, they... I'd say carry about a ton.
I mean, what size? Were they like 4 feet long, or?
No, they was, they had to be 8 feet long, because they had a 2-foot front on them that was loaded with ore. Well, the other 6 feet, the mule would.
Oh. How wide were they then?
They were 4 feet wide.
That was narrow gauge then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that dinky track come down there by the snake farm, down through there, down around where the old Catoctin Furnace School used to be, come down around there, cross over 15, in there above the big house, and come out on the ore dump.
Up on top of the hill there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Locust Pond was always beside of it. You know, Locust Pond they call it. We always called it Locust Pond.
And that was, is that the one that was down right above Gardner's house? Or was there another one up further?
No, there was another one up higher.
There was a couple of ponds. There was a lot of ponds along there then. Because there was a big pond down next to the gardener house.
Yeah, well, that was the lake.
The lake, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they built that lake there.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a pretty lake.
It was. It was big, and the state road comes through it, you know.
Yeah.
And cut it off. And that fish pond there, fish hatchery pond, was part of the lake. And the breast was up there where that big tree is now in that house, right beside the road, right there at Gardner's. It used to be the entrance there.
Yeah.
To Gardner's house.
Yeah.
Well, the people lived there was McPherson's.
Yeah. Dr. McPherson.
That's right.
Do you remember him?
No.
Yeah, I guess he was dead before your time. Well, the only thing that you remember really operating down there then was the stave mill.
No.
And the paint mill.
Yeah, the paint mill, I knew it. When we were running around there at school and going to store and stuff, because that was a company store, and they didn't pay you off with money. They give you books, and was stamped on the book the value of it.
Script. What they call script?
That's right.
Yeah.
And we'd go there and we'd, meanwhile, more horses operated the store. An old man was humpback. And he operated the store. And then Mr. Freely, that's Miss Mabel's father,
mm-hmm.
He was in there, he got a job in the store. And after that, the furnace was sold to L.P. Trout.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, all the furnace stuff was cut out of there then, and they made down where the casting house is, and the cast shed, what was made into a log yard, telephone poles. And after that, they got two sawmills in there. And they sawed lumber, and then the Hickory Run stave mill moved in. And this was all times that I was going to school. And lunchtime, well, we had an hour at lunch. And in the wintertime, you couldn't play ball, so we'd just run around.
And you ran down there to see what was going on.
That's right. And after that, then the pin mill come there, you know, making pins for them, cross arms, you know, to put the insulators on.
Wooden
pin, that's right.
There was something else when I first started going out there that always interested me, but there was a cave on the mountain somewhere that they could look into, but they never could get to find it. Something about something's moving out. Brady one time was going to try to find it. See, of course, I was interested because I was young children had to think they were not going to use me, you know. So I don't know what that tea was. I don't think he ever found it. He said something about Indians and different things.
Well,
now, you just stood in Lewis County somewhere and looked into it, didn't you, something?
Yeah. Stand right in that door of Lewistown Church. You could look right in the mouth of the cave.
Where was it, up in the mountain?
Yeah, it was up in the mountain.
but they never could find it when they get there.
And they had a fire there one year that I was riding a horse carrying sandwiches. And that horse, where I was riding, or the mule rather, that I was riding, he limped like, and I looked back to see what he stumbled over. And I saw the print of his shoe in the ground, in a rock. And after that, I heard people talk, and I went back, and I looked and looked, and I could never find that spot. And they told me there was a lid rock up there. And that's what the mule stepped in.
Oh, what kind of rock?
Lid rock.
Lid rock.
It's just plain lid.
Yeah. And that would make a print because it's soft.
Yeah, well, the fire was over too. She had gone beyond. And I went back, I looked for that. I could never find it.
I knew Dick, one of the boys, was coming out to talk about it. It was so much. Of course, Brady always saying he was going to go to it. And
yeah.
Of course, it interested me, I think.
Yeah. Well,
I really enjoyed the whole thing, you know, running around.
Yeah. Did you say then that the stave mill was operating?
Yeah.
Did you actually work there then when you got home?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you live? What part of the...
You know where John Carbo lives now?
No.
Back in Housewall.
John. That's old John.
Yeah. John Jacob Carbo. He's 86 years old now.
Is he your brother?
No. Cousin.
You go down the mountain. You know where Blue Mountain is?
Yeah.
There's a road to the right as you go down to...
You go back right through.
Go back, you turn to your right and you go back.
Oh, I see. Back
that
in there.
Cobble Hill used to have a place there called Cobble Hill. Used to be a little... When I was there, still had this little station across from where...
Little tube before station. Trolley car.
Oh, trolley car station.
Across there, see? Cobble Hill.
And Kelly, the Bryce Road comes from Kelly's Road to Blue Mountain.
Yeah,
right?
That's it. Well, that's close to where, then I guess that was where Ethel lived as a child, naturally, because Ethel was your sister. Yeah, she said it was down in there, that you had like 20 acres of ground or something down in there.
But I had 28 acres, and they sold
acres,
off, and they sold Willie Sweeney, and William I. Sweeney, and my cousin's husband. They run a store at Blue Mountain. And they sold ground to Sweeney. And we left 12 acres, you know, for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was, of course, she was younger. She said, she was telling me about your father teaching her to make bread and different things. Well, then he wasn't, by the time she came along, he wasn't able to work anymore.
That's right.
But you remember him when he was able to.
Yes, sir. Yeah, me and Mutt cut stave wood in the mountain. Well, they're in the old furnace picnic woods, what they call picnic woods, which is the park now.
Yeah.
And the sawmill was back of us where we was cutting wood. That time they was chestnut timber around here.
Mm-hmm.
And he would haul from there down to the furnace, you know, to the where the stave mill was there at the wood yard. And we ranked 5 cord of wood a day.
Were they live chestnuts then?
Yeah.
And that's what they used for the staves, chestnut?
That's right. And then, well, they cut oak too. And anything under 5 inches, they wouldn't accept. All had to be big wood. And you had to split the billets that you cut 5 feet long. and you had to split them if one man could handle them. And of course up there in the mountain, why, me and Mutt would help the old man to load the wood. And we used to put some pretty heavy logs on there, I'm telling you.
I went out there one time with them, a couple of us. You know how they picked them? They took a number of them and shook them off in it. And I think that was the most unusual thing, because we went and picked berries over back in the woods, Brunswick, and we just took 10 cups and buckets, you know, picking the cup and pour it in a bucket. But they took these huckleberries and just shook the bush down an umbrella off.
Yeah, take a bush, you know, and whip the bush. The huckleberry bush.
Yeah.
Of course, you knocked green ones off too. But when you went home, you unloaded all these lard cans and everything and dumped them in the wash tub and dumped water in there. All them green ones come to the top. Then you'd skim them off, see?
Get a lot of berries, that's for sure.
Oh, man. You go up there and pick them with just a bucket in your hand. You'd be all day getting 10 quarts.
I never baked a loaf of bread until I went to his home. And I got one Monday morning, his mother was washing it, and I said, Mother, you got anything I can do? She said, yes, you can make the bread. I said, I can't make any bread up. Well, she said, now it's time to learn. I said, well, we'll have any bread for supper. She said, well, that's all they have, they'll eat it. And it turned out real good, and I was so proud. And she taught me to cold pack. My mother opened the kettle.
Yeah.
Of course, Mama never allowed me in the kitchen. She'd run me out of the kitchen. She went, nope. Kids about her in the kitchen for you to get murdered up today. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was so proud of being able to do those things.
Yeah, I remember when they moved Freddie's store, you know, right back at the church.
Yeah, I've got a picture of that.
Moved
well,
the company store.
Let me see your picture you have there, baby.
All right. Now that's the store when it was little, right?
That's right.
And there's the church over there, and that was little.
That's right.
And here's another one of the church when it was little.
That's right.
The old fence and the gate.
Yep, I remember that.
This is a later picture of the same one. See, this is the same building. They've started to tear everything down, so they have to throw
it. Isn't that beautiful, though, just to look at?
Well, then Fraley, of course, worked up there in that store, and then he made put this little store down here. Did he built this, right?
No, that was a house, and he remodeled.
Oh, I see.
And he put a piece on the side of it.
Oh, where was it located? Was it all? It was always located there.
Right where it's at.
Oh, I see. And he took that and remodeled it and made a store out of
That's
it.
That's right.
And then later built more onto the front of it.
That's right. And, well, the church is about 4 feet away from it, ain't it?
Yeah, not very far. Yeah.
Well, that's something, isn't
it? And then this, of course, this is before the parish house was built.
That's right.
Matter of fact, this is even before the new, that new area back there, before the stone was put in there at the altar.
That's right.
Yeah. And
That there was, they started to put the stone wall up in the front, you know, up at the altar.
Yeah.
Harry Aller, his son, and Alvy Eisnagel with the stonemasons.
Oh, boy.
And I dressed a couple of stones there on the mason table for Charlie Aller to lay in that wall. Now my dad at that time was cutting stone, you know. He was a mason too.
Mm-hmm.
But he would take your drawings and go up in the mountain and match the stone, and then he'd start there, you know, and take the rock out, you know, and dress them, letter them, number them, and he'd build that thing right there in the mountain.
Hmm. Well, they tore down the old casting house and used some of the stone out of that, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Put that wall up.
That's right.
So you remembered without that wall?
Yes, sir. I really do. And it was a altar railing up there was about 8 feet. 8 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And you only had place there in the back. I'd say like a good sized bathroom where he kept his gowns and material, you know,
mm-hmm.
church records and stuff.
Yeah. Well, then this is the one that the store was in, right? Here's the here's the manor house.
Yeah.
This is the store.
That's right.
And that's a train car there, of course.
That's right.
And what this was the mule barn?
That was the old stable. Now this road here, this is 15, you know.
Yeah, 806 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that barn there. Man, I drove team out of there.
Yeah, what kind of a team did you drive?
I drove a log team, you know, a pole team.
To bring?
Bring telephone poles down to the woodyard. And when I first went to work there, I was working for Hendricks, working for old man Hendricks. And they was cleaning up the yard there to put telephone poles in. And we brought cast iron. That's what I say, I took the last load of cast iron out of that furnace. Because I was working with Davy Martin. We always called him Uncle Davy. Now that's Dad Martin's daddy.
That's Guy Martin's daddy?
No, Dad Martin. George Martin, do you know George Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miss Mary, the layman girl, Dad Martin married the layman girl, Rudolph. Rudolph Layman. Dad Martin married her, and that's them Martin girls lives down there where their brother runs a stone truck.
Oh, yeah.
Dump
yeah.
truck.
He's dead.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, his daddy is.
Yeah.
He could hardly walk when I was, when I brought that load of cast iron here to Frederick, and the Frederick streets was cobblestone. And we hit 7th Street at the first block in 7th Street, that's North Market Street and 7th Street. That's what we had to go out on, that was cobblestone. We come down 8th Street, was down through a marsh, you know, like.
Yeah.
Of course, the road was solid. And where I would catch a stone like that and that wagon would run over it, that was through. You didn't see it no more. That was dust.
Well, I guess that was a heavy load.
I had 9 mules. I never will forget it. Uncle David Martin says, well, boy, he said, you done wrecked the place. I tore the fence down and went away again. I called to him and pulled down, but when I talked to the lead mule and I cracked the whip, you know, of course they dug in then because they were going up the grade. I went in there and that old wagon hugged that post. Down went the gate.
Where did you pick up the metal? There at Catoctin Road, there
yeah.
at the furnace.
Yeah, right there. Oh, I'll venture to say 25, 30 feet away from where they got the cast shed built.
What was it, scrap metal?
No, it's pig iron.
Pig iron?
Yeah, pig iron.
Where were you taking it to?
Fetic Iron Steel.
Oh.
Boundary, is that what they call the boundary?
Boundary.
They had bought it, I guess.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah, then they wanted to rid that out, see, and
yeah.
Make a coal yard out of it. Ed Nunemaker, Bob Shuff, Dad Martin, David Martin. Billy Roof, George Bryce, Tom Bryce, Jim Bryce, they all worked right there. I remember all.
And was that to Potomac Edison that you were bringing those poles down for?
No. No, when we bought down, brought down there, we sold the Potomac Edison and bought two. But I wasn't the name of the people in. But C&P, the telephone company, they bought a lot and they had inspectors would come out there and they'd always stamp them in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go up the trunk, you know, from the bottom up. And 6 feet, and they'd put a grinder cross in it. That's where you had to dig the hole down and plant that pole that deep.
Well, when you were going in the mountain to get all these things, like for this lumber for the stave mill and for these poles and everything, could you see where they had burned a lot of charcoal up there in the years gone past? Had it really been logged off a lot? Couldn't have been much left, was there?
That growed up from the time the furnace, when they burnt those charcoals, that's when the furnace was operating.
Yeah, but you mean it had grown back up that much?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they didn't use, of course they...
Well, that, when they built these coal hearths, they call it coal hearths, that's where they burnt charcoal.
Yeah.
They would rack that wood up just like you would start a post pile. And then they'd throw dirt up on it.
Right.
And it'd leave both ends open, and then they'd start a fire on it.
Yeah.
And then during the night, somebody had to stay there. So they put up a mud cabin.
Yeah.
They'd set logs up, you know, and then smear mud up against the side of it, make sod shit out of it.
Sometimes whole families lived up in there.
That's right. And then coke carts. I mean that charcoal carts. Man, they were huge.
I guess they were, because charcoal's light.
That's right.
And they used mules to pull that down too?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was a dirty job.
Oh, man. You didn't know you from any other nigger. I'm telling you.
Because it would have been black, of course, yeah, right.
That's right.
They used big baskets to carry it in, didn't
That's
they?
Right.
This looks like the big tree yet, I just had a big knot on it. That big knot fascinated me from the first time I ever went out there. I almost cut that tree down, I want that knot.
That was right there.
Yeah. And it looks to me like they took the back off of the church here and put it on the front of the house. That back door that's back there, that's next to the store.
Well, Charles Cordy built that. Reception hall, yeah.
Right. The narthex, the little the little where you go in the vestibule.
This one in the back, you see in the back. It's
they tore
board.
That off. No, they tore that off.
That was weatherboard.
You can see over here where the store is, next to the church.
Now they didn't build no stone in back of the church that you got there now. They didn't build no wall back. They went right there and they tore that back end out. And they started building in. Right there. It started right on
up.
You
can tell that because it's got the windows in the that one window there next to me you come out to the altar.
Yeah.
I love that church.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There's no doubt about that.
Boy, it's no joke.
I said, it's so restful. I used to always say, if I could just go out there and sit nobody bothered me, I'd just sit there all day just enjoy it so much, just myself. You know, It didn't seem locked up when I first went there, but now it's locked.
No, it's not locked.
It's not
the church
locked.
Is not locked.
Oh, I don't know if it's locked.
No, the parish house is, but the church isn't.
Oh, that's good, because it always worried me a long time getting locked
no,
up.
No, it's not locked.
Well, that's good then.
Well, they did. I think when they had that problem there, they did lock it maybe for a week or so. But it was just until they could get some locks to put on those two doors that go back into the parish house.
Mm-hmm.
They're locked. You can't go up there past the altar and go back and get into the parish house. Because there's a lot of stuff in the parish house that they always figure people would either vandalize or mess up or something.
Look how they did when was in the church and all.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that was terrible.
That was terrible.
I know what's wrong with people today. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I miss going so much. I miss teaching my kids. I was showing Father Schaefer something. I got a letter from the Lord to Bishop Goodman over in Balboa or someplace over there at one time. I had a class. And
over there one time.
Where the missionaries go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the children, I said, you know, then they only bought pennies for Sunday school, and that was a lot to them, see. And I used to tell them that each one brings a nickel, I'll put a quarter in. So we had $6.10. And I got a letter back from the bishop, he signed it. Appreciate it so much. So we helped to buy a motor to take across to the church and places over there.
Yeah, fixed a motor on their boat.
Yeah, I showed it to Father Schaefer the other day.
When you, down there near where the paint mill is, do you remember a sawmill down in there?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I remember when they dug that shaft down there in Silver Shaft Field. Did you talk about that?
Yeah.
I remember when they were digging in there, just like these fellas did hunting up there at Clem's place.
Yeah.
They cleared that hole out of there, you know, and dug down, hit different footers.
Well, there was a sawmill down in there, and also there was like a feed mill, a grist mill. Do you remember that at all? Down in there, and I think that that they used the water from the raceway to run the mill. But do you remember either one of them when they were operating? Any kind of a grist mill or anything? Would have been in there, up there, back in there behind Jesse Stitely or somewhere in that area.
Yeah, there was a sawmill in there.
Yeah, there was a sawmill in there too. Was it a big sawmill or a...
Yeah, it was a production mill.
Boy, they must have really taken a lot of wood out of that mountain.
Oh, man. That mountain's been cut off twice since my lifetime.
It was cut off for the charcoal, of course, and then cut off again
the
for
stave mill.
Took that much stuff out for the stave mill.
That's right.
They take hickory, too?
Hickory, man, they take anything. Hickory oak, white oak, well, and big white oak trees, the sawmills mostly took those, and they saw that into plank, you know, and sell to the state.
How long was the stave mill in there?
Oh, that stave mill was built three times while they were operating there.
Wow.
Well, each time they enlarged it.
Oh, you mean they added on to it?
Yeah.
That's when Helen Carty's father and all those people came down there from Pennsylvania with the stave mill, didn't they? Assard Sippler?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they were Sipplers, Thompsons, Sykes. Redmond. Man, Then kids coming to school there and they couldn't talk.
Yeah, I know. You ought to hear Clem Gardner talk like Azard Sipler. That is really funny.
I've heard him talk about
it, but never heard him. I'm telling you.
Clem remembers Azard.
Yeah.
He, as a kid, he went somewhere with him one time, and he felt like, you know, he walked away.
Nothing new setting, you know, on that cultural
furnace. Oh, I'm telling you. That thing with no cord, nothing whatsoever, for it to be taken down.
Yeah.
The only thing with that was like the